Susan has vanished. I'm going to say she's going to reappear right there. If she doesn't, we know the rapture happened. I'd like you to find with me tonight Psalms 23. Thank you, Jeff, for doing a great job tonight and this morning as well. We hope that the graduates and everyone was challenged by the Word of God today. And that's, as I said, one of my favorite services to preach. And I would put that above maybe Thanksgiving, above some other things as well. It's just an exciting time to speak to those who have accomplished something. Tell them it really doesn't mean much until you apply it in real life situations. Let's look at the 23rd Psalm. And most of us are familiar with this. Some of us have it memorized, no doubt. But let's read. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Shall we pray? Father, again, as we come before your throne of grace and mercy, we thank you for this wonderful insight that you gave to David and really have given to us through your written word. And as we bring this message tonight, Father, we pray that we will really challenge every one of us here to see who our shepherd is and consider the character of the shepherd and the conduct of the shepherd as well. And Father, your word is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it has one of the most unique promises in all of literature. It will find its intended receiver, and it will not return void. So, Father, bless to us today the reading of your word, bless to us the preaching of your word, and we ask, Father, that it would be of good use for us today. In Christ's name, amen. Now, look at that first part of that statement. The Lord is my shepherd. If I was to state that in today's vernacular, I would simply say that the Lord, he's my manager. That's a pretty powerful statement. What you're basically saying, or what David is saying there, is that the Lord is my manager. And that brings us to really this question. The Lord, who is the Lord, and what is his character? Does he have adequate credentials to be my shepherd, to be my manager? I think that's what we have to look at, we have to examine. When David is saying here, the Lord is my shepherd, we have to look within our hearts and figure out, if he's our shepherd, if he's our manager, does he really possess the credentials to do what he is claiming that he is doing in our life? And if he does, how do I come under his control? If God is who he says he is, he's our shepherd, he's our manager, he's got the credentials, how do I subject myself to come under his control? In what way do I become the object of his concern and his diligent care? Those are very penetrating and very searching questions, and they deserve honest and basic examination. One of the pitfalls of Christianity is our tendency to talk in ambiguous generalities. David, the author of this psalm, himself a shepherd, the son of a shepherd, later known as the shepherd king of Israel, states explicitly, look again at it, says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I will ask the question again, who is the Lord? Who is it that David is referring to? Well, this statement is confirmed in the New Testament by the Lord Jesus Christ. In John, the 10th chapter, verses 11 through 14. Let me read this to you. It gives us who is the shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. When he was incarnated, the Lord Jesus Christ, among men, when he came and dwelt among men, he said this about himself, I am the good shepherd. So let's consider Christ as shepherd today. Who is my shepherd? When we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, when we think about God in general, really, our view of him is often too small. We say he's our shepherd, but what can God control in our life? What does God have the right to control in our life? Our view of God sometimes is too humanistic in nature. And because of this, because we feel this way, a lot of times we are unwilling to give total control over to God and say, okay, he's my shepherd, he's my manager. We don't want to have to let him have authority in our life, or much less outright ownership in our life. Let me paint the picture that Paul gives us in the New Testament in the book of Colossians, starting in verse 15 in the first chapter, about Christ. He's adequate to be our shepherd. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Let me stop there for first of all. We have here terminology that is sort of counter of one another. We have an image of something that's invisible. How do you have a representation of something invisible? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the image. He's the exact, in fact, the Greek implies he is the exact representation of God himself. And when it says that he is the firstborn of all creation, it is telling us that he has preeminence over anything and all other things. Listen to verse 16. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Let me stop there for a moment. Jesus Christ has authoritative right over anything and all things. Then it says all things were created through him and for him. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, and in all things that he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things are on earth, things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now let's just pause and reflect on the person of Jesus Christ. Is he adequate to be our shepherd? Well, it tells us that in all things he has the preeminence. He has the power, he has the achievements to be our shepherd. Suddenly, when we think about that, I hope that we can be just honest and say today that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is my shepherd. Let's consider this as it relates to the Trinity. God the Father, he is the author, he is the originator, all things that exist. And in his mind first, all things took shape. God the Son, the Savior, the artist, the creator of all that exists. He brings into being all that has been originally formulated in the Father's mind. And God the Holy Spirit is the agent who presents the facts to both mind and to spirit, understanding that we become real and relative to as an individual. With these things given in the Scriptures, our mind's eye, we look at this beautiful relationship that is given to us. God the originator, God the author, Jesus Christ the artist, and the Holy Spirit the agent. These confirm that God is sufficient to be our shepherd. When the simple statement is made by a man or by a woman, the Lord is my shepherd, it immediately implies a profound working relationship between the human being and the maker. Think of it this way. It binds together clay and deity. It binds together our finite existence with an eternal destiny. It means we are a mere mortal object that is being cherished above divine diligence. God is actively involved in everything in our life. Though one may be stirred in their spirit, they might say quickened by a sense, I am precious in his sight. We should be just happy to hear that when we sing that as little kids, by the way. I am precious in his sight. Just think, God in Christ is deeply concerned about me as a particular person. That makes the journey upon this planet enormously meaningful. He's our shepherd. He's guiding us. At the greater and the wider and the more majestic concept of God is this idea that he has a son, and his son is vital to our relationship to him. David in this psalm is not speaking only as a shepherd. He's speaking as a sheep. See, go back to what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. David's not writing as a shepherd. He's writing as a sheep. David in this psalm speaking as a sheep. He spoke with a strong sense of pride and devotion, of adoration. It was literally him boasting it loud. Think of it this way. Look at who my shepherd is. Look at who my owner is. Look at who manages my life. See, and what we've come to is there's just this mindset that no one controls us. We control who we are and what we've become. But David, well, he looked back and he thought about all that he accomplished. And he wholeheartedly said, he's my manager. He is the one that is responsible for me. So he understood under firsthand experience that the lot of any particular sheep, now listen to this very carefully, depended on the type of person who owned it. Sheep are not the brightest animal in the barnyard, so to speak. In fact, they don't do too well in barnyards. They need pastures to be in. They don't feed well on their own. They have to be guided. And we'll talk about that over the next several weeks. But the condition of the sheep depended upon who owned it. Do you get that? You are a direct result of what God is doing in your life. Let me say it this way. Maybe it'll be better understood. You are a direct result right now of what you're allowing the Lord to do in your life. Because some of us here, and I've been guilty of it, we don't take so much pride in the Lord being our shepherd. Some of us take our own way. And that's what sheep do. Sheep go off on their own way. Sheep get in their mind, they're going over here. They're going to graze here. They're going to do that. And we're going to talk about that in this study as well. But David, without any reservations, he realized that under one man, sheep would struggle and starve and suffer endless hardship, but yet under another caring man's hand, they would thrive and they would prosper and they would be content. That's why David said, the Lord, he's my shepherd. I hope we can say that tonight. Now let's consider for a little bit tonight as well the character of the shepherd. The character of the shepherd. So if the Lord is my shepherd, I should know something about his character and understand some things about his ability. If you look at the stars at night, there are 250 billion times 250 billion in the night sky. That's a number that's just insurmountable to me. Each of those stars in the sky, I remember being in Haiti. Doug, remember being in Haiti when we were down there last October and looking up in the sky? It was just so velvet in the
stars were just so bright. There were no light pollution down there. And we saw, didn't we see so many shooting stars? Wasn't it amazing? Do you know that the majority of those stars are bigger than the sun that heats the planet Earth? That's just unbelievable. The heavenly lights are scattered across the cosmos by the hand of God. The earth is such a small part of the universe that you and I are in. It takes the most powerful telescope to reach sight-wise to the nearest star, neighboring star, and to look back at it, or to look at it, excuse me. It can't be even really seen in good way with the naked eye. Now, that's humbling. How vast and how big it is. When we think about how fast and how big the universe really is, it deflates the ego from us and it puts things in its proper perspective. It really makes you and I small. Yet the staggering fact remains that the creator of the universe has called himself my shepherd. He created everything, and yet he's willing to say that he's personally responsible for me. Out of all the vastness that is out there, God still considers me and invites me to be one of his sheep. I belong to him because he deliberately chose to create me as an object of his own affection. Well, sadly, it's painfully clear that most people refuse just simply to acknowledge that fact. I've been reading through the book, The Reason for God, and looking at the arguments for why there is a God. And they're so solid and they're so sound when collectively you consider them together. Each one on its own is not proof alone that there is a God, but collectively, all these things considered together certainly tells us that it just did not happen. You and I, as Christians, we understand and we know that God created all that is around us. He's personally responsible for all that we see. Yet, he is also individual enough that he deals with us directly and wants to be called our shepherd. See, at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated the deep desire of his heart, the deep desire of the Father's heart, to have my heart whole and right again. See, he bore our sins, and it's stated very clearly in Isaiah. Like sheep, we've all gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all on him. It's very real. In a very real sense, I truly belong to him because he's bought me. You need to understand that. Paul says we were purchased with a price. He has bought me, and in the price that he's purchased me, it cost him his life and his shed blood. Therefore, considering the characteristics of the shepherd, God has every right to say, I am the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Why? Because he was the one that laid his life down for the sheep. Amen? Now lastly, let's consider the characteristics of the sheep. It was no accident that God chose to call us sheep. It wasn't. The behavior of sheep and human beings is often similar in very many ways. Our mob instincts, sheep have that. There's some sheep off Canal Road. If you want to go watch them, I ride bikes by them usually 2 or 3 times a week. They're interesting to watch. But they have a mob instinct. One sheep will go one way and others will go right with it. Our fears. Sheep have fears. One gets scared, they all get scared. Stubbornness. Sheep are famous for stubbornness. I know a lot of us are famous for our stubbornness. Our perverse habits, doing things that aren't good for us. Sheep are guilty of that, by the way, too. They will eat things that will kill them. Does that sound like any of us? Yet despite all these adverse characteristics, Christ chose us. He buys us, he calls us by name, he makes us his own, and he delights in caring for us. There's little wonder why the psalmist David took such great pride of just starting out this psalm by saying, "The Lord, He is my shepherd." Because the characteristic of the sheep was nothing to be happy about. Those sheep that truly belong to the good shepherd will always be healthier. Now hear me. They'll be wiser. They'll be stronger than those who belong to another shepherd. I have no doubt about that. I believe that we have a good shepherd, and he is going to oversee every aspect of our life. Some shepherds should never own sheep, shouldn't they? It's just like sometimes some parents really shouldn't be parents. Let's be straight up about it. Some shepherds should never own sheep. Why? Well, you look at their sheep. They're thin. They're weak. They're riddled with disease. They're covered with parasites. They're not sheared at the right time. This is the way for the ones who don't know the good shepherd. We look at the world. That's the way it is for the world, by the way. It's amazing that people vehemently refuse the rejections that Christ claims in their life. They'll say, "No, I don't want him to be the shepherd." And they fear to acknowledge him in any way, and therefore they suffer. They would much rather be under the rule of a tyrant. They are already living under the rule of a tyrant, so they've rejected the good news about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, the evil shepherd, the false shepherd, they're bad taskmasters. It's difficult to, under the light of Christ, let me just say it this way. I'm trying to state this. I got some notes here, and I want to state this right. The most balanced and the most beloved being in the society of man will be those that belong, I believe, to the good shepherd. Let me say this about the shepherd as well. He grew up modestly before himself. Grew up modestly. Had great people in his life. The Lord Jesus Christ, his mother, obviously. Others along with him. The Lord Jesus Christ, he had no special advantages or education or employment. Yet, it's still, he becomes our good shepherd because of what he was willing to do for us. He has no vast army, no economic assets or powers while he was here on planet Earth, but no other person has ever made the enormous impact on the world that he has. And because of him, millions and millions of men and women across the 20 centuries of time have come to a more abundant life. That's the kind of shepherd that he is. Not only was he gentle and tender and true, he was also righteous, stern as steel, and terribly tough on phony people. He came to set men free from their own self, their fears, and those who liberally love him should do so with just this fierce loyalty that is unwavering. Let me finish up tonight by closing out with this thought. The characteristic of ownership. For the human being who recognizes the claim of Christ and gives allegiance to his absolute ownership, there comes the question of bearing his mark. I want to read this to you from Mark, the 8th chapter, verse 34. Jesus said when he had called the people to himself with his disciples. Now this is a separation here, by the way. He says to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now let me talk about our marks of ownership tonight. One is denying self, not self-denial. I've said this a few times in the pulpit. It bears repeating tonight. There is a difference between denying self and self-denial. See, denying self-denial says, okay, I know that for my good, I don't need to do this. So I will not do this. You know? Or I need to do this for my own good, so then I will do it. I said something in Sunday school this morning about flossing teeth. I don't really particularly like to floss my teeth, but a couple times a day, I floss my teeth. Because I don't want to go to the dental hygienist and then have them raking and scraping all over my gums and me bleeding all over the place and then her scolding me and saying, you really should floss your teeth. So therefore, I practice a little self-denial and floss my teeth. But see, denying oneself is different. Denying oneself is saying, okay, this isn't necessarily for my good, but it is what I need to do. I'm going to follow. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what it means to me other than the fact that I am doing what I've been called to do. He pictures it as taking up a cross and following him. The tragic truth is that many never come under the Lord Jesus Christ's management. What has gone on throughout the centuries is that people want the drapings of Christianity. They want the goodness of God, and yet they do not want the management of God. And it certainly does not work today. So in a series of questions, I want us to answer these in our heart. Ask yourself this and answer it. Do I really belong to him? Is there every point in your day can you say, he's my manager. He's guiding me. He's the one that I'm proud of. Second thing, do I really recognize his rights to my life? Now, did you hear that? Do you really recognize his rights to your life? Because he has purchased you. You are his. He has a right to say this. He has a right to say that in your life. Why? Because he is the good shepherd. He is your owner. Third question. Do I respond to his authority and acknowledge his ownership? How do you do that? Do you do that? Fourth question. Do I find freedom and complete fulfillment in this arrangement? Knowing that the Lord is your shepherd. Do you find that that makes you happy? Fifth thing. Do I sense a purpose and deep contentment because I am under his direction? Sixth thing. Do I know rest and repose beside a definite sense of exciting adventure and belonging to him? That's what the psalm talks about. Exciting adventure, yet rest and comfort in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And the seventh and the final thing, if so, if you can say yes to all those things, can you proudly, loudly proclaim, the Lord, he's my shepherd? Let's all stand. Ask Brother Jeff to come. Would you join me in prayer tonight, please? Father, as we come before you, we are grateful for the wise words that David spoke. And Lord, there were those times in David's life where he really didn't show your management in his life. He went off on his own. He did his own thing. And like the good shepherd, there was some price to pay for that. And Father, I pray for us tonight as your sheep. We know that you're the good shepherd. Father, we pray that we would be idea sheep. Sheep that know your voice. Sheep that realize that you have nothing but the best in store for us. Even though it may look like an arduous journey that we're going through. We may be walking through that valley of the shadow of death, but we will fear no evil because your rod, which is an emblem of correction, your staff is an emblem of protection. They comfort us. I pray, Father, that tonight, as we looked at this psalm in the beginning of this small series that we'll be doing on Sunday night, that we will diligently consider, are we really allowing the Lord to manage our life? I pray that we are. I pray that this pastor is. So we ask, Father, that tonight that you will give through the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit this invitation. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I want to thank you for your attention tonight. I want to invite you tonight to go beyond just the norm. The norm would be, okay, you know, I know this psalm's out there. I know that the Lord, he's supposed to be my shepherd. I would invite you to go to the place where you can loudly and proudly proclaim, like David, the Lord, he is my shepherd. And so when that happens, you can say, well, whatever's going on in your current set of circumstances, okay, this is where the Lord's got me at this moment. It could be a job situation. It could be things within your children. It could be things within your family, within your marriage. There could be a myriad of things. But realizing that whatever is going on in your life at any given moment, it could be the death of a loved one, that it's been filtered through God's divine will and his divine wisdom. And when we can do that, I believe we can begin to take a little comfort in the situation, if not a whole lot of comfort. Because as time goes on, the good shepherd is going to bring things into our life, and the good shepherd's going to take some things out of our life. He's going to bring adversity to push us to a new field to feed in. He's going to bring comfort to keep us in the field that we're at. I mean, it's his right. It's his privilege. And I hope you can see that. There's a desire to pray tonight. When you come forward, we certainly invite you. You certainly pray from the pew where you're at. If you do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we invite you to establish that tonight. I'd be happy to pray with you, show you from God's word how to have that right relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the good shepherd. Brother Jeff, as we sing, would you please come?
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling.
very appropriate song, amen? Where he leads me, I will follow. Oh, I was shared that, and it was shot by his wife. Is that correct? Yeah. So remember Arnie's family, Bab's family. His nephew lost his life by his wife shooting him. And I don't know the particulars of any of that, but certain.
The same age as mine. His name is Joshua David.
Joshua David Bab.
Same as my Joshua David.
Yeah. Two little children. So, you know, it's. It's not good. So, but some way the Lord will bring good out of it. Amen. All right. Thank you for your attention tonight. Hope to see you not only next Sunday morning, but see you out on the lawn somewhere and on Village on the Green. And it'll be my first time. I'll be a first timer. Is there any kind of special thing for that? No. Okay. All right. All right. Well, let's close out. Again, thank you. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly above all that we might ask or think, to him be the glory in his church through Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you and go in peace.